here is how I determined Rubber Soul was created, and we can extend this model to all of the Beatles albums between 1963 and 1966. During the early period, the Beatles songs were written by professional songwriters on the Tavistock and EMI staff. The number of writers was probably no more than five or six, with George Martin in the role as managing director, overseeing the overall Beatles initiative, as well as a likely composer. Another major player was Theodore Adorno of the Frankfurt School, who I believe was a major stakeholder in the Beatles initiative and working closely with George Martin. It's also possible Adorno was one of the writers contributing to the portfolio of Beatle music. For those interested in learning more about Theodore Adorno and his role, please watch my presentation, Did the Beatles Write All Their Own Music? The link is in the description box below. I color-coded the slide to make it easier to follow the process. Blue represents the timeline from January 1st through October 10th, the day before the Beatles entered the studio. Yellow denotes October 11th through November 11th, when the Beatles were recording the vocal and harmony tracks for the album. The green box is the final mix. This is when George Martin merged the vocals and instrumental tracks to complete the songs. Red represents the cutting of the lacquer, the pressing of the records, and preparing the album for distribution and delivery. Starting with step one and the blue boxes, this is the time period leading up to October 11th, when the Beatles were performing their UK shows, doing their European and US tours, filming Help, and recording the Help album. While the Beatles were attending to their schedule, behind the scenes, professional songwriters wrote the songs for Rubber Soul, with George Martin doing the arranging. Because the songs are already written, the song titles are known. The instrumental tracks were then recorded by session musicians and mixed down in preparation for the vocals. With the instrumental tracks recorded and mixed, the runtimes for the songs are known, allowing for the sequencing to be done. Also during this time frame, the album art, sleeves, and labels are created and sent out for printing in order to ensure both are in-house for when the pressing and packaging process begins. In step 5, which is the yellow box, from October 11th through November 11th, the Beatles are in the studio to learn and rehearse the vocal melodies for each song and then record the vocal tracks. In step 6, which is the green highlighted box, on November 15th, with all the vocals now recorded, George Martin does the final mix to merge the pre-recorded instrumental tracks with the vocals. In steps 7 through 9, George Martin hands the final tape off to the EMI production team to start the process of cutting the lacquer, which takes place on November 17th, which then leads to the creation of the stampers. The records are then pressed, packaged, and expedited in order to make the December 3rd deadline. Logically, Rubber Soul had to be created in stages, otherwise the December 3rd date could not have been met. So I concluded this was the model used for all of the Beatle albums up through and including Revolver. The process also extended into the 1967 through 1970 period, although during this phase of the Beatles' timeline, John and George were writing more of their own compositions and playing on more of the recorded tracks, but with outside songwriters and studio players still in the mix. It should be noted that this approach to creating and recording music, which I refer to as the Wrecking Crew model, is not unique. It's a model that has been the foundation of the pop music industry from the beginning and still in play today. For those that are unfamiliar with the Wrecking Crew, they were a loose collective of Los Angeles-based session musicians whose services were employed for a great number of studio recordings in the 1960s and 1970s, including hundreds of top 40 hits. What we have from 1962 through 1966 is four young men in their 20s who could grind it out and be the veneer for the music that was not written by them, but as the 1962 Mersey Beat article stated, written for them, by uncredited professional songwriters and composers who were working behind the scenes on behalf of Tavistock and EMI to use the Beatles as a social engineering tool. The Beatles were not groomed to be songwriters because Tavistock already had their writers. The Beatles were schooled, starting with their Hamburg gigs, to be the performers on the world stage who would play the music and recite the scripts that were given to them by social scientists operating behind the scenes. The relentless performing in the early 1960s, up through their meeting with George Martin in 1962 and beyond, was to develop their performance skills so they were ready to hit the road running once Tavistock decided to throw the switch to bring Beatlemania and the ensuing tidal wave of social change into the mass consciousness. During the early years, The Beatles were a cover band playing bars and clubs, and ironically, in the end, that's exactly what they continued to be through 1966, since they were covering the music that was written for them.